Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Colossians 1, from verse 1 to 8. I read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has always in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also amongst you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. 7. As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to you your love in the Spirit. The next Bible reading is from Colossians 4, 12 to 13. I read, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. It's time for our message. Please let's open our hearts, our jotters, and let's prepare for the message. On the topic, Epaphras interceding in prayers, I will call on our brother, Dr. Oke Onuzo, to take the message.
Someone praise the Lord. It's a privilege and an honor to be here to share fellowship with you. Amen. Shall we bow our heads to pray? Father, we are grateful for every opportunity you give us to fellowship with one another. For the gift of today, we thank you, O Lord our God. Spirit of the living God, please come and take absolute control of this hour. Ignite the fire of your word in our hearts. That, Lord, when we leave here, we will be like Epaphras, men and women who will intercede until we see the kingdom of our God come with power, changing lives to the glory of your most holy name. For it is in Jesus' awesome name we pray. And all the people said, Amen. Okay, unsung heroes, that's a very interesting concept, unsung heroes. Because, see, most people would like what they're doing to be known and heard by people. But this is one of those areas of our calling in Christ where you can be doing quite a lot and nobody knows about it. But the encouragement is this, that heaven has her records. And so, like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So long as you know that in the Lord, Your labors can never be what? In vain. Absolutely. Your labors can never be in vain. Now, Epaphras, let me just do some historical thing. It's a contraction. The name is a contraction of Epaphroditus. And in fact, I thought initially they were the same person. You know, then I checked again and discovered that they're two different people. Epaphroditus was mentioned in the letter to the Philippians, and Epaphras in the letter to the Colossians, as well as in Philemon. He was Paul's dear fellow servant and minister to the church at Colossae. And perhaps, as is suggested in verse 7 of chapter 1, was his founder. He brought to Paul a report of their state in Colossians 1:4 and Colossians 1:8, and sent back greetings to them from Rome, Colossians 4:12. Epaphras was commended by Paul for his ministry of intercession. He desired their perfect and complete stand in all the will of God. True pastoral concern that extended to other churches in the Lycus River Valley. Colossians 4:13. Paul also called him my fellow prisoner. This may mean that he voluntarily shared the apostle's imprisonment, or he may have been apprehended for his zeal in the gospel. Epaphras may have been Paul's convert. As Paul's representative, he had evangelized Colossae and the neighboring towns of Laodicea and Hierapolis during Paul's Ephesian ministry in Acts 19. His visit to Paul in Rome and his report concerning conditions in the churches of the Lycus Valley caused Paul to write the letter to the Colossians. Paul's high esteem for Epaphras is seen in the terms he applies to him, our beloved fellow servant, a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, a servant of Christ Jesus, and my fellow prisoners in Philemon 23. Because the last term is also applied to Aristarchus in Colossians 4:10, the probable meaning is that Epaphras and Aristarchus alternated involuntarily sharing Paul's imprisonment. Okay. We leave that, the historical anecdotes, and look at the man and his mission. We bring the bits and pieces we learn about the man together. We go with those who say that it probably was the Apostle Paul who led him to Christ when he was at Ephesus. And he rose to become an evangelist and a church planter, with the likelihood that he planted the churches of Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. We learn a lot about him by the testimonies that the apostles shared about him. From the church he birthed, we learn to the saints and verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From the congregation that he raised, we have an insight into the kind of believer that he was. He raised brethren who were faithful to God. That's a very important point. They had a good understanding of our calling in Christ. If you and I minister to people, if we evangelize them, it's important that we raise men and women who are faithful to God. And that will reflect in every aspect of their lives. You see, when you are faithful to church, you know, everything is limited to who is watching you. But when you are faithful to God, then you can be very consistent because you know that God is always watching you. The key elements of their Christian character is revealed in verse 4. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We heard of your love for all the saints. Okay? Epaphras must have preached the truth that brought hope to the Colossians. The hope of heaven is a very powerful inspiration. In the gospel, today's existential preaching gives hope for a better life on earth only. But of the saints of old, we were told in Hebrews 11:35, women received their dead. They were raised to life again. Some men were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. So the kind of gospel that Epaphras must have preached was the one that planted the hope of eternity in the hearts of the people. And that is so fundamental that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if it's only in this life that we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So it is the hope. So why go through all that self-denial? Why go through all the pain and suffering? Why reject the deceptions of the world and the devil? It is because you know that one day you will share eternity with God. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. A better life on earth without the hope of a better resurrection is an empty victory. It's an empty success, hopeless in the end. But when we pursue a better resurrection, we gain an abundant life on earth and a better resurrection when life is over. Epaphras ministered an impactful gospel that was changing lives. If the gospel we preach does not change lives, then our labor is in vain. The gospel we preach must change lives so that after they've heard us, they will go into their lives and make changes. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in us, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish. And innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. Now, verse 16, it is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in what? In vain. That is the whole idea, you know, that, you know, the preacher told the story of a pastor that went to heaven, died and went to heaven. And he was looking for members of his congregation. You know? Oh, Joseph died before me. Is he here? No. Mary died before me. Is he here? No. That would be a monumental tragedy. That's what the apostle was saying. I must not labor in vain. The gospel I share, the gospel you share, must turn sinners to saints, must turn men who are worldly, men and women who are worldly, to men and women who are godly. That's the whole idea. It must turn men and women who are carnal, they walk in the flesh, to men and women who are spiritual. That's the whole idea. Otherwise, it's just entertainment. If lives are not being changed. So, if the gospel we preach does not change lives, then our labor is in vain. Epaphras, he preached a gospel that changed lives and produced saints who were faithful to God in their lives. At work, at home, and in the church, they were faithful men and women. No wonder the apostle concluded this testimony by calling Epaphras our dear fellow servant who declared to us your love in the Spirit. That's an awesome statement. Your love in the Spirit. What exactly does it mean to love in the Spirit? Because we need to savor some of the teachings that he deposited in these people that made them such a commendable congregation. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So that when we love in the Spirit, love is agape. Only love, the Bible expounds, is agape. Self-sacrificing, you know, indiscriminate, not picking and choosing who to love and who not to love. Love for everyone. And then consistent. You and I don't have that kind of capacity. Consistent love. No, we don't have that kind. Only God imparts it. Only God imparts it. And that's why, you see, when you love in the Spirit, your love is led by God. It's actually an act of obedience. So, Brother John may have offended me, but he needs my help today. My natural response would be, Brother John, you didn't think you would need help when you were offending me yesterday. You know, I'm so sorry. I'm not inclined to help you. But if I loved in the Spirit will whisper to me, whatever John, Brother John, wants from you, do what? Give him. And because I love in the Spirit, I don't have a choice. So, even though I may feel terrible about Brother John and what he did to me, but my love to him is consistent because I love by the Spirit. I do for him as the Spirit directs. Yes. And the Bible says this is the kind of gospel Epaphras taught the people. Their love in the Spirit. They are so open to obey whatever the Spirit tells them. And that's where their lives were being changed. Because you and I are not good people, though. Let nobody deceive you. You and I are not good people. What we are called to give to the world is the goodness of who? God. Yes, it's the goodness of God. So it's like the story I always use about the man who paid the school fees of the son of his relation. He paid his school fees through the university. And then he was moving house and invited the man, please, let you and your son come and help me. And the man told him, this is what Kaya, we can hire Kaya, you know, this boy is a graduate now, they can't be carrying all this load. Okay. But then there was another son that has gained entrance again. And the man, without hesitation, came back to him, you know, the other boy is ready. And the man, what his response was, why don't we get Kaya? Let us get Kaya to help him. You know. But then you see, the Spirit says, oh no, don't do that. And then he rises again. But this is not what he would rather do. No. But this is what love in the Spirit is. This is the kind of gospel that Epaphras was preaching. So that when we show goodness, consistency, nobody should imagine that we are really like that. No, if only they had the conversation inside, they will know that we don't really have it. That is the goodness of God that we are seeing. That is the awesome nature of the gospel that this man preached, to create men and women who have love in the Spirit. Now, very quickly, because of time, we go to his burden. Okay, in verse 12, the second part of this, his burden. Epaphras, who is one of you, a born servant of Christ, he greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's an awesome prayer request. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He knew what was fundamental to faith and to life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. And what is the next thing? Thy will be done on earth as it is what? Done in heaven. You know, part of our problem with that prayer is that we've never stopped to ask, how is the will of God done in heaven? Because that's the model. Say, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. We gain insight into how the will of God is done in heaven through the writings of Isaiah and Ezekiel about Lucifer, you know, because the Bible says there that Lucifer was chief angel. He walked amongst the stones of the altar. But he said one day, iniquity was discovered where? Inside. You know, you hear people say that the devil rebelled against God, and he and God fought, and God drove him down. Nothing could be further from the truth. The will of God, the way it is done in heaven, is nobody thinks anything different. The day you think something different, you are out. So when the Bible says, your will, let your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven, you and I know immediately that I can't enforce that anywhere else outside of my own life. That's where I have full control. So that using the pattern in heaven, I don't think anything other than what God wants in my life. And if I don't know it, I have to ask for it. Lord, exactly how do you want me to respond? I tell believers that all the time. You and your wife, you are having altercation, argument. This one is go speaking, the other one is speaking. But you see, if one of them starts to say, Lord, this thing my spouse is saying, how should I respond? You know, most of the time you hear, say what? Nothing. Nothing. You know, quarrel. No one person can quarrel alone. Yes, that's what you discover. You know, that if you are quarreling and suddenly you stop, the other person can only go on for a little while. Because they suddenly discover that it's a monologue. You know, you are no longer responding. And so the quarrel, immediately. And so every time you stop to say to God, I want to do this thing your way. I want to quarrel your way. Whatever I do, I want to do your way. So when you make that request, they'll be telling you how to respond. And you find that people will suddenly say, it's a very peaceful man. It's not peaceful. It's just that it's controlled. You see, that is our life as spiritual people. We don't really have all these qualities. It's just that we are controlled. And because we are obedient, you know, every time they tell us stop, you stop. Aha. And then that reveals a character, but not mine. It is the character of who? God. Yes, it's God that I'm showcasing to the world. That's what it's all about. So when Epaphras is praying, oh God, let these Christians in Colossae, let them be tutored in all the counsel of the will of God. That's what he's praying about. That they will be spiritual men and women who follow their guide in every choice they make in their lives. But then also, we must look at intercession. Because they gave us the burden of Epaphras. His burden was for these people to become truly spiritually mature. People whose lives reflect the character of Christ. But intercession, you say, Lord, people carry different burdens. Okay? I've had stories about a man that was he was a missionary, you know, and there was some prayer meeting in his home church, and there were 32 something people present, and the people who were trying to attack him saw 32 soldiers. You know, all those type of stories. You know, they're very exciting because they encourage and inspire people to pray. And sometimes when we talk about intercession, some people think about, oh, these are people who are really deep. No. It's people who mention things to God in prayer. Oh, yes. It can be as simple as that. Just mention it to him in prayer. You know, because he knows what to do about them. Yes, yes. But what you and I need to know also about intercession, so that we will really engage in it. You know, no matter how much time you decide to devote to your daily, because something about intercession is consistency. No matter how much time you have decided to devote to your own daily intercession. You know, you might decide only 15 minutes, and that will be awesome indeed, that every day for 15 minutes, you spend time praying for the kingdom of God in the lives of men, the kingdom of God in Nigeria. You know, the body of Christ in Nigeria, we need so much prayer. We need so much prayer. You and I know for sure that if all of us lived Christian, all the people in this country that say we belong to Christ, if we lived Christian, this country will change overnight. Oh, yes. There are over 10 million of us who go to church every Sunday. Over 10 million. If all those 10 million went to their offices and lived Christian, the country will change overnight, you know, because they will stand up to all the pressure. They will say no to what is evil. And they will have the inner strength to resist all temptation. So, praying for the body of Christ is such a very important prayer request. Even if you decide today that, Lord, every day for 15 minutes, I'll pray for the body of Christ in Nigeria. That we will live up to our calling. Okay? Everywhere we go, we will represent Christ correctly. Honesty, integrity, love, compassion. You know, someone has said that corruption is a lack of love. It's lack of love. They give you 100 naira for 10 of us. You put it in your pocket. You don't love us. Yes, you know, corruption is a lack of love all the time. And so if you and I really pray, you know, for the body of Christ to come alive, for a revival to begin and transform people so that they'll begin to say no to what is wrong. No, I cannot be a part of that. No, I cannot be a part of that. No, I cannot be a part of that. But then they will see how God will answer that prayer, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, things are changing. Why? Because people are changing. You know, a lot of people want change with people who are not changed. Ah, it's not possible. Because you cannot give out what you don't have. No. And so, and the church has the reservoir of people who hear the truth that can change lives. It's not everybody that hears the truth that can change lives. But in church, oh yes, we hear the truth that can change lives. You know, that's why our Lord Jesus Christ said, whosoever will come after me, let him first what? Deny himself. In other words, this is self-sacrifice. You know, yes, you could have, like they were telling one man, that one man told me that MD of Nigeria Airways. And that time they had 42 aircrafts. So when he was telling me this thing, there were only 3 aircrafts left. And he said, people come to him and were telling him, Shebi, we told you, let us sell off everything. Now they have sold off everything. You know. He said, I have no what? Regrets. I have no regrets. You know. So people, a lady said to me, somebody came to me when I became principal of a school. They told me that, Madam, are you the new principal? He said, yes. He said, there's money here. Say, there's plenty of money here. When you settle down, I will come and educate you. You know, but that lady, she retired, and she was looking for what to do. She was selling oranges, you know, that woman, I'm sure, seeing her, said, Madam, Shebi, I warned you, But by now, you will be relaxing in your flat in London. Yes, you know. But to go through that, no, somebody has to pray, Lord, make the body of Christ in Nigeria saints that are saintly so that the world can around us can what? Change. There's no other way. There is no other way. So there are so many burdens. And then the last thing I'd like to share with you is that there's something our Lord, the apostle wrote in the book of Hebrews. It actually changed our own prayer life. You know, in the ministry I run now. And that's Hebrews 11:3. Say, by faith, we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Then the next statement is where it is. See, the things that are visible, they came from things that are not what? Visible. Yes. That's what intercession does. It builds a new world in the invisible. And then one day, that new world that existed in the invisible will become what? Visible. Yes, that's the way it works. But somebody must pray and construct that world in the invisible. I call them people who know how to build in the invisible. And so when they pray for a new Nigeria in the invisible, they know that they have to support it in their lives with holiness and righteousness, integrity and honesty. They have, because otherwise they will counter and cancel their prayers. So this is what Epaphras did. They raised men and women who were godly, who represent Christ in the world. And he didn't stop. Even when he was in Rome visiting Paul, he knew that if he stopped praying for these people, the chances are that they will what? Backslide. Yes, they'll go back. They'll go back. So somebody must be praying. Somebody must understand that if you want people to stay steady, to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to make sacrifices, to walk in holiness, walk in integrity, someone must be praying. That anointing will come down and reside in their lives so that the kingdom of God can prosper through us. Now, we are so many here. We are so many. You know, every time I think about, you know, some people will say, oh, there are so few. I say, no. Jesus left how many people? 11. That's what the preacher said, that Jesus got back to heaven. The angel welcomed him and said, "Have you finished?" He said, "Yes." Say, "Will the work survive?" He said, "Yes." "Who are the people you left?" He said, "I left 11 people." The angel said, "I see 11 people hiding in the upper room." He said, "Yes, they are the people." "These ones," he said, "Yes." "Did they do it?" "Yes." "Why did they do it?" "They had something where?" Inside. That is it. They had something inside. They knew what to do. That's the way church must be. Raise men and women who have something where? Inside. They have something inside. You know, they may look very ordinary. They may look weak. They may look intimidated by their circumstances. But they got that thing inside. The moment their spirit touches it, it comes alive. That's how they were so defiant. They were so bold. They were so articulate. And they changed their world. You and I can rise and do the same. If we have the same focus, you know, and realize that if we don't pray for it, then don't expect anything to happen. Okay? Because it must be bathed in the invisible before it can come out in the natural. Okay? So if you and I know that, then join the prayer group, train, learn to pray, and then wake up in the night, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you'll be amazed the impact of that. Why did you wake up? Why did you set the alarm? It's so that I will talk to God about the body of Christ in Nigeria. Ah, heaven will make a note of that. You know, you set an alarm so you can wake up every night at such a time to pray. Ah, they'll take note of that. May God help us. Perhaps you are here, you don't understand any of what I'm talking about. But God wants you to realize that the only way, you know, you can live life on earth and when life is over here, go to heaven. The only person who knows the way to heaven is who? Jesus. Oh yes, he said, "I am the way." He didn't say, "I am a way." He didn't say, "I'm a way." There was no equivocation there. You know, we call it exclusivity. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Don't take a chance on that. Just give your life to Christ. You know, I did so June 28, 1970. My life has never been the same again. Let us pray. To give your life to Christ, just say a simple prayer. Say, "Lord Jesus, please forgive me all my sins. Please come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. I repent of all my sins. And by your grace, I will follow you every day of my life until I see you in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." Also, perhaps you have been hearing about this intercession. Now the Holy Spirit is saying to you, you can be an intercessor. You don't have to pray 24 hours. No. Just 15 minutes every day. Set a time. Be consistent. Have a list of the things you pray about so that when the answers come, you will know they have come. Okay? Why don't you decide and say, "Lord, by your grace, I will spend 15 minutes every day praying. Give me a burden for the body of Christ, for a righteous Nigeria. Give me a burden for the kingdom of God in the hearts of men, not just church membership. Kingdom of God in the hearts of men, so that they will be citizens of the kingdom, obeying the king." That's also a burden for the sick, the needy. You know, choose, ask the Holy Spirit to help you choose your own burden. And then write it down and bring it before God in prayer and thank Him for answering you. Very simple, not complicated. Holy Father, please look upon us with compassion. May the spirit of intercession rest on each one of us. That from this day, O God, we will be intercessors, building the kingdom of God in the lives of men, all to the glory of your most holy name. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray. And all the people say, Amen.